Please turn with me in your Bibles to Isaiah 59. Here in Isaiah 59 it says, "Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither his ear heavy that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you that he will not hear. For your hands are defiled with blood, and your fingers with iniquity. Your lips have spoken lies, your tongue hath muttered perverseness. None call for justice, nor any pleadeth for truth. They trust in vanity and speak lies. They conceive mischief and bring forth iniquity." Sounds like America, doesn't it? Sounds like a lot of nations around the world. "None call for justice, nor any pleadeth for truth. They trust in vanity." Down in verse 5 it says, "They hatch cockatrice eggs and weave the spider's web. He that eateth of their eggs dieth, and that which is crushed breaketh out into a viper. Their webs shall not become garments, neither shall they cover themselves with their works. Their works are works of iniquity, and the acts of violence is in their hands. Their feet run to evil, and they make haste to shed innocent blood. Their thoughts are thoughts of iniquity. Wasting and destruction are in their paths. The way of peace they know not, and there is no judgment in their goings. They have made them crooked paths. Whosoever goeth therein shall not know peace. Therefore is judgment far from us, neither doth justice overtake us. We wait for light, but behold obscurity, for brightness, but we walk in darkness. We grope for the wall like the blind, and we grope as if we had no eyes. We stumble at noonday as in the night. We are in desolate places as dead men. We roar all like bears and mourn sore like doves. We look for judgment, but there is none, for salvation, but it is far from us. For our transgressions are multiplied before thee, and our sins testify against us. For our transgressions are with us, and as for our iniquities, we know them. In transgressing and lying against the Lord, departing away from our God, speaking oppression and revolt, conceiving and uttering from the heart words of falsehood, and judgment is turned away backward, and justice standeth afar off. For truth is fallen in the street, and equity cannot enter. Yea, truth faileth, and he that departeth from evil maketh himself a prey. And the Lord saw it, and it displeased him that there was no judgment. And he saw that there was no man, and wondered that there was no intercessor. Therefore his arm brought salvation unto him, and his righteousness it sustained him." This evening's message is simply entitled Intercessor. God takes a look at all this wickedness, all this not wanting for truth, not wanting for justice, not wanting for God's way. And instead of looking down there and talking about the people, he describes the situation and he says, "And there's no intercessor. There's not one man down there that's interceding between these people and me. There's not one person that's an intercessor." You say, what does that have to do with this morning? Let's go to Exodus chapter 32, verses 1 through 14. Exodus chapter 32, verses 1 through 14. It says there, I'm going to read scriptures fast, because I have a lot of scriptures here. And so it says, "And when the people saw that Moses delayed to come down out of the mount, the people gathered themselves together unto Aaron, and saith unto him, Up, make us gods which shall go before us. For as for this Moses, the man that brought us up out of the land of Egypt, we want not what is become of him. And Aaron said unto them, Break off the golden earrings which are in your ears of your wives and your sons, of your sons and of your daughters, and bring them unto me." Okay, we read that this morning again. That's how come I thought he was going to take the sermon. Let's go to Numbers. Numbers chapter 21, verses 1 through 9. It says there, "And when King Arad the Canaanite, which dwelt in the south, heard tell that Israel came by the way of the spies, then he fought against Israel and took some of them prisoners. And Isaac vowed a vow unto the Lord and said, If thou wilt indeed deliver this people into my hands, then I will utterly destroy their cities. And the Lord hearkened to the voice of Israel and delivered up the Canaanites, and they utterly destroyed them in their cities. And he called the name of the place Hormon. And they looked, and they journeyed from Mount Hor by the way of the Red Sea to compass the land of Edom. And the soul of the people was much discouraged because of the way. And the people spake against God and against Moses, "Wherefore have ye brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? For there is no bread, neither is there any water. And our soul loatheth this light bread." And the Lord sent fiery serpents among the people, and they bit the people, and much people of Israel died. Therefore the people came to Moses and said, "We have sinned, for we have spoken against the Lord and against thee. Pray unto the Lord that he take away the serpents from us." And Moses prayed for the people, and the Lord said unto Moses, "Make thee a fiery serpent, and set it upon a pole, and it shall come to pass that every one that is bitten, when he looketh upon it, shall live." And Moses made a serpent of brass and put it upon a pole. And it came to pass that if a serpent had bitten any man, when he beheld the serpent of brass, he lived. You know what? I wonder, are we intercessors? Are we intercessors? I just think of it, and as I think about it time after time after time, one of my desires, one of my wants, one of my longings down deep in my soul is to have power with God. Do you have power with God? Do you have power with God in your prayer life? When you pray, does it get through to God? When you talk to God, does God answer your prayer? When you stand, are you the one like Moses that will take up the fiery serpent and walk in between the plague and the people and say, "Oh God, spare them"? Are we the intercessor? When we stand before God, when we pray to God, does God hear you? Does God know who you are? When I think of that, I think about, it was an Acts, and the devil's talking, a demon's talking, and he's talking to somebody. He says, "Paul I know and Peter I know, but who are you?" You know what? I wonder if Satan knows who we are. Time after time after time after time, Moses in the wilderness, he spared a whole nation because he could get a hold of God. Time after time after time, Moses and Abraham, of course, and these people of God, and they knew God face to face. And their face shone with the glory of God. And God let them see them. And God had such a relationship with these people that he had with nobody else. They had power with God. We as human beings can have power with God. Do you desire that power? Do you desire for God's ear to be bent to you when you speak? Do you desire that when you pray, God will hear your prayers and heal somebody? Do you desire that when you pray and when you fast and when you get a hold of God, that God will actually go out there and work in that person's heart and see that person get saved? Oh, Moses stood between a nation time after time after time, and God said, "I'm going to wipe them out." But there was an intercessor in that nation. Is there an intercessor in this nation? Is there an intercessor in this town? Is there an intercessor in this church? As I think about it, and as I think about the old times, I was joking about it before. I said, "I think I'm Spurgeon up here." And we were talking about, he was talking about all the secret rooms in this building. I said, "Yeah, and I bet you there's a secret compartment that goes underneath the pulpit where three old ladies sit there and they pray all during service for God to work on hearts." I was semi-joking, but there was a time in history where ladies and men would kneel and pray in a compartment underneath the pulpit that God would get a hold of hearts. And those people had power with God. And that's when the fire of God fell on America. That's when the fire of God fell on Europe. Are we intercessors? Are we? Does God know us? Is Satan afraid when we pray? Again, time after time, Numbers 14, 1 through 20, Ezekiel, Job chapter 9 and verse 33, he says, "I sought for a daysman, but there was none." He said, "I sought for somebody to take the hand of an almighty God and take the hand of a sinner and put them hand in hand and to go between us and introduce us." Job was saved. But in the verse, he says, "I sought for a daysman." Are we daysmen? Are we intercessors? Let's go to 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse 1. Be an intercessor by prayer. Very obvious one. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse 1. It says there, "Finally, brethren, pray for us that the word of the Lord may have free course and be glorified, even as it is with you." Let me ask you this. When was the last time you prayed that God would work through the messages that was preached here on Sunday morning? When was the last time that you prayed that God's word would have free course in somebody's heart? When was the last time that you prayed for the sinner that was sitting here and you knew they were sitting here and you said, God, oh God, get a hold of them with the sermon. Oh God, break through that hardcore. God, oh God, why don't you show them your love and compassion? God, why don't you woo them to yourself? Why don't you put your Holy Spirit upon them and convict them and squeeze their heart, dear Lord God? Oh, dear Lord God, I pray that your word will have free course. One of the things I do for my supporting churches, I need to make up a newer prayer list. But I have a prayer list, and as I pray for them on Sunday that the word of the Lord will have free course for them that Sunday. I pray that during the sermon on Sunday morning, that as a pastor stands up and preaches God's word, that it'll go out and people will get saved that morning. I pray for the missionaries around the world as I go through my missionaries list, and I say, oh God, as they're preaching, I pray that your word will have free course in their heart. You know what? I wonder if it was just five people in this room this week that prayed for the pastor as he got up and preached this morning and said, dear Lord God, I pray that the hearts of the people that your word will have free course in there. You know, I wonder if it would be just five people. Is there five people this week that sit here tonight that can say, I pray that God's word would work in people's hearts during the message? Oh, we don't pray for it. And here it's a commandment. It says, pray that the word of the Lord will have free course and God will be glorified even as he is in you. Oh, would to God that we would pray that we would like these ladies that got up underneath here a long time ago, and we would get on our knees and we would beseech God and we would be an intercessor in prayer and we would say, God, work in hearts. God, break down those walls. God, break down those barriers. God, help me be the person like Solomon prayed when he prayed to Jesus Christ. He says, I am but a child. Teach me how to come in and out among these people. Oh, God, make me the person that this person can associate with, that'll be a friend her, that'll be friend them, that'll break down those walls. Oh, God, help me be the person so that your word can have free course. Oh, Matthew chapter 9 and verse 38. Matthew chapter 9 and verse 38. Matthew chapter 9, verse 38. Again, another famous one, but do we do it? Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. You say, I'm too old to be a missionary. This is where God wants me. I'm not going to be going out there anyways. What in the world do I have to do about it? Are you praying? Are you praying that God will send forth laborers out of this church? Are you praying that as God's word has free course in pulpits across America, that God will send forth laborers into his vineyard? Oh, another commandment in the Bible, a simple commandment of prayer, a simple commandment of intercession for the people that are dying in their sins all around the world. No, we might not be able to go. Yes, we might be doing everything we can here, but are we praying to God? Are we beseeching God week after week after week after week that he'll send forth laborers? Are we not even doing that? Is there five people here this morning that has prayed that God would touch some young person's heart, that God would touch some young lady's heart here to go forth and be a preacher and be a missionary this week? Is there some five people that's sitting in this room that besought God on their knees and that begged and pleaded with God and had power with God and intercession and said, God, I pray that you would send forth laborers into the field? Is there five people this week that sat here and beg that God would send forth laborers into this field of people who are lost and dying in their sins, in their lawlessness, and they're living in their vanity as it talks about in Isaiah? Is there five? Maybe there is. Is there? Mark chapter 9. Mark chapter 9. Oh, I would to God, I just pray that we would be intercessors. I pray that I would be an intercessor. I pray that when I pray that God would hear me. I pray that when I pray that God would work through my prayers and miracles would happen and God would heal people. Why? Because I was an intercessor. I had power with God, and because of me, God was able to work through me. Or God was able to answer my prayers, and he bent his ears to them and he did something for somebody. Mark chapter 9, verse 27. It says, but Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him, and he arose. And when he was come into the house, his disciples asked him privately, why could we not cast him out? And he said unto them, this kind can come forth by nothing but by prayer and fasting. Some things take a little bit more harder work than just reading down the prayer list and reading off the names. Some things take a little bit harder work than just saying, okay, dear Lord God, I mentioned that name of prayer. Okay, dear Lord God, I did that. Okay, dear Lord God, I read through my list. Aren't you happy? I had my 5 seconds of prayer. You know what? The disciples went out and they said, dear Lord God, I couldn't cast out that demon. Dear Lord God, my prayer didn't get answered there. I couldn't help there. How come? And he says, it takes prayer and it takes fasting. What are we willing to do to have the ear of God? How burdened are we to see God answer our prayers and work in people's lives? How burdened are we right here in Maine, in Biddeford? Are you fasting and praying for your loved ones, or have you given up on them? Have you said, oh, God can't save them anyways, it's too long? Is our heart still broken? Are we still willing to say, God, I'll go without food for a day. God, you know what? I want this to come forth. Dear Lord God, I'm willing to pray and fast. Dear Lord God, I'll be the intercessor. Dear Lord God, I'll stand out there between the plague and the people and hold the pole up all day long so they can look to it and be saved. Dear Lord God, I want power with you. I want that when I pray that you would lend your ear to me and that you would answer my prayers. Oh, would to God that there was an intercessor among us. Oh, would to God. And then also James chapter 15 and verse 13 through 16, he talks about praying for the sick and they'll be healed. Also praying for Christians. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6 says, but without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Diligently seek him, and plus believe. Sometimes I think we don't think God can do it anymore. Sometimes I think that just because we haven't seen it happen yesterday, that we forget that God can do it, that God has done it, and we write God off and read over our prayer list so we can say we're still praying, and we forget to plead, and we forget to come back to him and back to him and grab a hold of the horns of the altar. And then, how else to be an intercessor? We should be an intercessor by giving. We should be an intercessor by giving. Moses saw a whole people in chains, saw a whole people wrongfully. He left the throne, killed a man, wandered in the wilderness. Why? Because he says, I want to go between them and Pharaoh. He tried to do it his own way at first, which is how come he got put in the wilderness. But his heart was broken for the Hebrews. He said, this is my people. And he left the throne room. He gave up everything to help save a nation. Oh, is that not what it is? Is there not a Hopi nation out there? Is there not other nations around the world? Is there not missionaries that come in amongst your midst and say, hello, there's people out there that are dying and going to hell. Will you help by giving? Will you help by sending? Matthew chapter 16, verses 19 and 20 talks about laying up for yourself treasure in heaven. Philippians chapter 4, 15 through 17 talks about not because I desire a fruit, but not because I desire a gift, but I desire that fruit may abound to your account. 1 John chapter 3 and verse 16. 1 John chapter 3 and verse 16. It talks about here, it says, hereby perceive we the love of God because he laid down his life for us. And we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. The Bible also talks about no greater love hath any man than this, that a man lay down his life for a friend. My pastor always used to say it takes two things to help somebody. It takes time and money. It takes time and money. But what are those? What is time and money? What is it? It's life. When you work, when you go to the job, you spend your life in exchange for those dollar bills. And you spend your life 8 hours a day, 5 days a week, or however long it is. And when you spend your life for that company in production, they give you some green things in its stead. And when you care enough for a missionary, when you care enough for the house of God to tithe so that the word of God could have free course here in this community and go forth and you can keep pastoring his study, praying and having the power of God on his life. And when you care enough for God to help somebody out and you put that money in the offering plate, you're laying down your very life for a friend. And the Bible says, greater love hath no man than this, than a man lay down his life for his friend. Now go to 2 Samuel. I want to talk about two different stories here. 2 Samuel. Two stories of giving intercession. 2 Samuel 24. Verses 14 through 22. Again, I'm going to read it quick. It says, and David said unto Gad, I am in the great strait. Let us fall now into the hand of the Lord, for his mercies are great, and let me not fall into the hand of man. So the Lord sent a pestilence upon Israel from the morning even to the time appointed, and there died of the people of Dan, even to Beersheba, 70,000 men. Again, David sinned by numbering the people, and because of David's sin, God sent an angel out to kill people. Pestilence plaguing the land, and as this angel had this sword in his hand going on because of David's sin, it goes on, it says, and when the angel stretched out his hand upon Jerusalem to destroy it, the Lord repented him of the evil and said to the angel that destroyed the people, it is enough, stay now thine hand. And the angel of the Lord was by the threshing place of Araunah the Jebusite. And David spake unto the Lord when he saw the angel and smote the people and said, lo, I have sinned and I have done wickedly. But these sheep, what have they done? Let thine hand, I pray thee, be against me and against my father's house. And Gad came that day to David and said unto him, go up, rear an altar unto the Lord in the threshing floor of Araunah the Jebusite. And David, according to the saying of Gad, went up as the Lord commanded. And Araunah looked and saw the king and his servants coming on toward him. And Araunah went out and bowed himself before the king on his face upon the ground. And Araunah said, wherefore is my lord the king come to his servant? And David said, to buy the threshing floor of thee, to build an altar unto the Lord, that the plague may be stayed from the people. And Araunah said unto David, let my lord the king take and offer up what seemeth good unto him. Behold, here be oxen for burnt sacrifice, and threshing instruments, and other instruments of oxen for wood. Caleb, can you get me some water, please? Thank you, sir. It said here, and all these things did Araunah as a king give unto the king. And Araunah said unto the king, the Lord thy God accept thee. And the king said unto Araunah, nay, but I will surely buy it of thee at a price. You say, what's going on here? There's a plague going on. It's killing people because of David's sin. And here is this angel with a sword in his hand standing on the outskirts of Araunah's property. And the king comes to Araunah, and Araunah says, David, I want this plague to be stayed. Take what you will. I want you to take my oxen. He was just a poor farmer. Maybe those oxen was all he had. And he says, offer them up to God. He had the yoke that went around the oxen's head, and he had his hand sheath that he cut the grain with. And he had his other wooden farming instruments there. And he says, David, take these instruments and burn them so that you can burn these oxen on the altar here. And he said, take it, David, take what you will. Take my threshing floor. Clear out all this grain here. A poor peasant farmer, David, comes in. Everything he had to supply his family with food, everything he had that was his work, everything he ever had, he said, David, here, use it, asking nothing in return. Matter of fact, he told David, don't pay me anything. I want God to stay his hand of the plague. I want God to use my thing so that people will not be killed. And it says here, in verse 23, great statement, and all these things did Araunah as a king give unto the king. Araunah was a peasant. He was not a king. But yet as a king, he gave unto the king. Oh, would to God that we would say, God, you know what? I'm not a king. Oh, God, you know what? I don't think I have everything. Oh, God, you know what? I only have these few things here. Oh, God, I only have this. Oh, God, I only have that. But I see the plague that's out there. I see the dirge. I see how it's killing people. I see how people are dying in their sins and in the gutter along the side of the road. Dear Lord God, I see how people are dying and going to hell and burning forever. Dear Lord God, I don't have much, but here it is. Take it. I want to give as a king unto a king. Dear Lord God, I want to be an intercessor. Dear Lord God, I just want you to use my life. I want you to use my things so that the plague will be stayed from off of people. Oh God, use my giving. Oh God, use my giving. 1 Samuel. Excuse me. 1 Samuel chapter 25. Thank you, sir. I appreciate it. Araunah was a man that gave out of his want. Here we have somebody that gave out of her wealth. 1 Samuel chapter 25, 23 through 33. I guess just to spare time, I'll explain it to you. Abigail, you very well know it. David defended her husband's people in the field, defended the sheep. David came and wanted some food of his wealth. And he said, "Who's David? I know him not." And David, of his wrath, brought all his boys up with sword drawn. And they were going to kill every single man that was there. And Abigail heard of it. And she ran and she got some sheep and she dressed it and she grabbed some other food and she got it ready. And she laid the camels and the asses and she told her servants to bring it out. And she came out and she laid at the feet of David and said, Oh, David, my husband has done foolishly. Don't kill him." And by giving, she interceded so that her husband would not be killed. Now, granted, God killed him later on for the wickedness that he did. But oh, would to God that we would give that the plague might be stayed. Oh, would to God that whether it be of our wealth or whether it be of our want, we would say, "There are people dying. Dear Lord God, here you go. Here, Lord God, take it. Dear Lord God, please stay the plague." Now I'm going to say some dirty words. Some people here don't want to hear it. You know what? Taxes are coming. Mine are out. Mine are in. Now granted, I'm a single guy and I have a few less bills. But when I get my taxes back, not only am I going to put some away, which is a good thing, but I'm going to give extra to missions. And I'm going to give extra to the church. I'm going to find a missionary somewhere, and I'm going to slip some money in his hand. I'm going to find somebody somewhere, and I'm going to slip some extra cash in his hand. You know what? I'm a missionary. I give to missions. Each and every one of us should pray, give, and go, whether it's right where we're at or whether it's across the seas. You know what? As we go along, if we really believe that our earthly investments are going to bring us back money, and when we get our tax income, we shove all extra cash into the earthly funds and all extra cash into the earthly IRAs. I'm not saying don't send any, but I'm saying if you believe that's going to yield interest, don't you believe there's a plague out there? Don't you believe that there's a heavenly interest? Don't you believe that we should also invest more in that too? You know what? If I'm going to put some away over here, you better believe that when I have the excess cash, I'm going to put some away over here too. I'm going to say, "Oh God, here's what I have. I want to give it to you. I want you to stay the plague." So we stay the plague. We're intercessor by prayer, by giving, and then by going. Jeremiah chapter 12. Jeremiah chapter 12. Verse 11. It says, "They have made it desolate. In being desolate, it mourneth unto me. The whole land is made desolate." Here's the key right here. "Because no man layeth it to heart." When was the last time you were out soul winning? When was the last time on a Saturday, on a Thursday, you were here? Oh, how come it's so sad that on Sunday mornings we have a church full of people? On Sunday nights we have a church full of people. And then it comes time to go out and go soul winning and tell somebody about Jesus Christ. And we have three people that go out and do all the work. Three people that care enough about souls to go out and see them get saved. Oh, there's people all around us here in Biddeford. You have thousands of people here. If we would just sit and concentrate on their spiritual state, if we would just sit and meditate on it and lay the desolation to heart, lay their future to heart, lay what they have to look forward to heart, oh, maybe we would get up out of our chairs and come and spend 2 hours and try to tell somebody about Jesus Christ. Oh, maybe we would pass out some tracts as we go along our life's way. When was the last time you darkened the door of this church to tell somebody about Jesus Christ? When was the last time you darkened the door of this church to go out soul winning? Oh, how sad it is when year after year after year, faithful church member comes in service after service after service and sits in the seat, and somebody gave all so that the plague might be stayed from them, but they can't spend 2 hours a week and take a step back from watching another TV show, which amounts to what? Somebody can't take another 2 hours worth a week and step back and say, "I'm going to love somebody else enough to lay their to heart, lay their future to heart." Oh, Psalms chapter 2 and verse 8. It says, "Ask of me and I shall give thee the heathen for thine inheritance, and the uttermost parts of the earth for thy possession." I was talking to a preacher and he said, there are 65 reservations across America where there's not one gospel preacher on the whole reservation. Never mind independent, Baptist, fundamental, preaches the Bible. Not one gospel preacher on the whole reservation. Young people, young men, young ladies, there's places out there across this country where there's not one gospel preacher. And the Bible says you don't have to have the Holy Spirit fall upon you. And as Pastor said this morning, a holy ray come down out of heaven and God pick you up by the shoulders and put you at the altar and say, I call you. God says, just ask. God accepts volunteers. He says, ask me and I'll give thee the heathen for thine inheritance and the uttermost parts of the earth for thy possession. You know what? If you just meditate on a state, maybe 12,000 people with no preacher out there telling them about the gospel, this group of thousands of people over here, and you just sit there and think on it, and they're steeped in their mysticism and steeped in their religion, and when they die, they're going to spend eternity in hell, and what they believe, and inside of it's weaved the gospel all through it, but they can't see it. If you would just sit and meditate on it, maybe you'd say, God, just send me. God, I'll go. God, here am I. Send me. Forget about everything else. Just volunteer. Ask them. Ask them. Go. I'll be the intercessor. God looked down, the Bible says in Isaiah, and saw the whole nation. There was not one. Not one. Does that burn inside you? Does that say, God, make me the one? God, make me the one that when I pray, you hear my prayers and that person will get saved. Oh, God, make me the one that you'll bow your ear to me and you'll walk through me. Oh, God, make me the one that I'll be able to give to you and through that other people will be get saved. Oh, God, make me the one that I'll be pure enough and I'll be clean enough that when I go out, your Holy Spirit will walk through me and people will get saved. Oh, John chapter 4 and verse 35. Actually, let's skip that one. Let's go to John chapter 11 and verse 50. Last two verses. John chapter 11 and verse 50. It says, nor consider that it is expedient for us that one man should die for the people and that the whole nation perish not. They're mocking Jesus Christ. The priests are saying, you know what? Jesus Christ, he's going to die for the nation. He's going to die for the people. Yet he did. He died, and it goes on to say, to bring all people together. He died to pay for the sins. Romans chapter 5 and verse 19. Romans chapter 5 and verse 19 culminates all with this. It says here, Romans chapter 5 and verse 19, it says, for as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so as by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. Is it the cry of our hearts that by the obedience of this one shall many be made righteous? You guys have heard the stories before. The seed gets placed into the ground, it dies. But when it dies, it comes up and it brings forth fruit, but it first has to die for itself. Oh, is it expedient that one man should die for the nation? Oh, is it expedient that you should say, dear Lord God, forget what I want. Forget the things that I want to do. Dear Lord God, send me, I'll go. Dear Lord God, hopefully by my obedience shall many be made righteous. Oh, would to God that it would get a hold of somebody's heart here and say, will you be an intercessor? Will you be an intercessor? Will you have power with God? God in prayer that God will lend his ear to you and answer your prayers. Oh, would it be that you say, God, here's my wealth. God, here's my money. God, here's my excess. God, use this so you can send a missionary around the world so they can get saved. Oh, God, use it so you can keep the doors of this local church open so that the souls in Biddeford can get saved. And oh, would to God for us that we would get up out of our seats on Thursday night and on Saturday nights and we would say, oh, God, use me that somebody can get saved. Oh, when was the last time you darkened the doors on soul winning? When was the last time you even considered, laid it to heart, the desolation of the people here? Never mind around the world. When was the last time you laid it to heart those pockets of thousands around the world where there's not anybody out there telling about the gospel? Oh, would to God that when God looks down and sees the nation, that at least be able to say, there's a prophet in this land. Is there an intercessor?